been from the very beginning. Not the beginning of time, Brother O, but I thank you for your honor of having you here today. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to verses 23 through 28. When you get there, if you would stand. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Father, we know that we serve one who is perfect, one who lives forever, and one who intercedes for us. May your words of truth be true this morning, and may they apply to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going through Hebrews, trying to understand the truths of Hebrews, and of course, Easter came right in the midst of that. And I wanted to talk this morning about the Sunday after Easter. Hebrews 7:23. We know that there have been many high priests since death prevented them from continuing office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Nothing is permanent. We say that, we know that, right? That's our saying. Nothing is permanent. At least on this earth. We spend a lifetime trying to create something that will last. And while we're creating that something that will last, it's deteriorating as we build it. It decays. Ray and I are working on a house that's 50 years old, and the decay and the age and time process goes on, and we're in the process of restoring certain areas of the house while other areas of the house are sitting still decaying. Nothing is permanent. And I don't think I need to go through a list of things like health and relationships that are changing in your life right now. You know that the things you thought were solid in our lives change. You don't need to hear about constant change versus something that's permanent. You know that there are few things that we can count on. But the scripture says because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Permanent as in it does not decay. It does not change. You see, the priests had high priests, and they cycled them in and out like we cycle pastors and popes and all kinds of other things. Leadership. Why? Because we die. And the priest died. And the first priest is not the priest that served 100 years later. But this morning, on the week after Easter, we have one thing that's permanent, and that is the high priest, the one who stands before the Father on your behalf. And so something is permanent this morning. And the idea is to talk about what we can count on. Now, I want to be able to count on my bank. What I put in there is what I expect to get back out. You all have the same expectation, I'm sure, or you don't put your money in the bank. And yet the situation in Greece a couple of years ago taught us that people went to the bank and the bank said, sorry for you. Things changed. I want to know that if I take care of my body, if I eat right, live healthy, that I'm going to be able to work for another 5, 10, 15 years the way I do today. But the truth of the matter is my body is saying, not so much. My body is telling me that there's coming a day where what I do is going to have to change. Life is forever that kind of change. For the priests, the high priests on Easter morning, and the priests of the people of Levi, their world completely changed, and yet they had no clue that it had happened. Their part in the crowd or in their society had not changed, but their office, their position, what they did was closed and taken over by another. There is a high priest who reigned that morning in place of the priests who had themselves been part of putting Christ on the cross. And while they were doing that, trying to kill him off, to keep him from taking over their place in society, that's exactly what happened. He took over their place permanently. High priest came and high priest went. Death kept changing the leadership, but the one who came, who rose on that Easter morning, conquered death, and this one ended forever priestly transitions and made that office permanent in himself. Hebrews 7:26. Such a high priest truly meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart for sinners, exalted above the heavens. Who couldn't make a month-long series of sermons out of this? This priest did what the priests in Israel's day, the priests in our day, the ministers in our day, ordained or otherwise, cannot do. It is, I pray that the Lord will, after the ordination, that the Lord will help me to see things I don't see right now. I pray that the Lord will bless me with understanding things that I do not understand right now. I pray that he will give signs and wonders that I do not move in right now. But the reality is, if he does that for me, I will still be called to hospitals to stand next to the bed of dying people with an inability to change that in and of myself. And in that, I will always be the same as you. The same as every high priest that ever passed through. The same as any pope, any priest, anywhere. Unless God moves, it's not happening. And I'll tell you this, many people, if you were raised in the faith tradition I was raised in, time and time and time again, you would hear that I don't go to church anymore because of that priest, that minister, that person. And I can tell you here and now that I too will disappoint you. You do not come to church for me. You come for him. I will leave you disappointed. There is one who can meet your needs. And the reason he can meet your needs is because he is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from us. My nature, my sin nature, will cause me to be less than you desire me to be. Life is not in my control, but it is in the high priest's control. Hebrews 8:1. Now the main point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down in the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by mere human beings. If you've been disappointed in the church, with the people of the church, it's because we're all mere human beings. And he is not. And if you're not anchored in him, expect the disappointment that will come. But he is the high priest who sat down at the right hand of God. Maybe tonight will be movie night in heaven and Jesus will be sitting on the throne next to God and he'll say, by the way, Father, Wilma has really bad gout. And Father will say, I'll take care of that. And maybe while they're on the throne, Jesus will say, somebody in New Life has bondages to break. Father will say, I'll take care of that. That's what a high priest will do. A high priest will represent you before the King of, before the God of the universe. He doesn't have to wait for an appointment. He doesn't have to knock on the door, sign in. He's sitting on the throne right next to him. And all he needs to do is lean over and say, they could use some signs and wonders in that place. That's the high priest we have sitting on that throne. Religious life is an attempt by imperfect and weak people to relate to the perfect, omnipotent God. We, as weak, imperfect people, cannot in ourselves relate to what is perfect and omnipotent. And that's why the mediator, the high priest, the one who sits on the throne next to our Father. The law could not do what Christ can do. The priests could not do what Christ can do. He's the one. And on that morning 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rose from the dead, the priests in their weakness and in their imperfection did not know that there was a cosmic shift. When the angel rolled back that stone and there was a great earthquake, it was a shaking, a cosmic shaking that said, the high priest has come. The only one who can sit next to on the throne at the right hand. Faith is believing that even though we can't see him right now, he is at this moment sitting on that throne interceding for you and me. Jesus might be at this moment saying, Father, it's only a week and a half before ordination. You have something ready? Is there something we're going to do? Is there some spiritual gift that's waiting? How about you? What do you need today? What do you need? What miracle can you not perform? What thing in your life is out of control that only the high priest of the permanent order with access to the king can do? And but since he is the mediator between God and man, the man part needs to engage the mediation. The man part has to ask, what would you ask this morning? Then ask it. The mediator and the Father are ready. And the thing about this particular mediator is that he doesn't need to make a sacrifice like the priests did. We know that when the priests went, they appeared before the Lord in the Holy of Holies in that special place once a year, and they had a rope tied around their ankle in case in the presence of God they died, they could pull them out of that place. Well, Jesus enters the Holy of Holies, that place next to God, the throne room of God, where without a rope around his ankle. One, because he won't die. Two, because he has no sin and he has no fear of the Father. He has done what we cannot do. He is the only one who mediates between the unholy and the holy. He is the one who will never be replaced. Unchanging. According to the commentary critical and expository of the whole Bible, and this is a little bit long, infinitely above all other priests, in this one grand respect, he, Jesus, exercises his priesthood in heaven, not in the earthly holiest place. Let me just stop there for a moment. Jesus is in heaven, not on earth, in that tabernacle. Why is he in heaven doing this? Do you know that Jesus, the Son of God, in earthly terms, is totally unqualified to be a priest? Never thought of it that way, did you? He was not from the line of Levi. And no one served as a priest unless they were from the line of Levi. He was from the line of Judah. Read Matthew. And yet he's a high priest. Why? Well, he's from the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. And I got to tell you something. If you understand that, you please explain that to me. How there was one without a beginning and an end, but he is not God. There's a mental conflict I have with that. And yet I know that Jesus is from the line of the higher priesthood that Melchizedek represented. So, he's in heaven. Now, in heaven, Jesus is totally qualified to be the high priest. He didn't bring a sacrifice of a lamb. He brought himself as the sacrifice. He made it personal. He was the one who was perfect. He was the one who could satisfy. He was the one who lived the life on earth the way we couldn't live it. He totally and completely satisfied the law. And so while on earth, the priests would not have him, in heaven, we do. And he stands before God. The Levitical high priest, even when they entered the holiest place once a year, only stood for a brief space before the symbol of God's throne. But Jesus sits on the throne of the divine majesty in heaven itself and this is forever. Forever. For you and for me. So, the week after Easter, what has changed? What has changed is that there is a better priest serving in heaven. There is one whose service is not ended by death, And there is one who does not have to leave the holy place after a short time. And he does not have to continually bring sacrifices. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. I'd love for all of us to have a more excellent ministry. May not be bad now, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. This new high priest, Jesus, did not have to enter the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle. And he is in the presence of God all the time. For the high priest of the day, nothing changed that they saw. Nothing. And yet everything had changed. He is both Jesus, he is both qualified in heaven and unqualified on earth. Now, this new priesthood is different in several ways. It's different in that it is not dependent upon the family line. It is different that it is indestructible. It is different in that it provides better access to God. And it is different in that it is permanent. And it is different in that it is a new covenant. Hebrews 8:6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, the high priest, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. This is a challenging thing for us. Jesus said that he did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. The problem is we drive an anchor there, a stake in the ground. Jesus did fulfill it. And when he fulfilled it and was raised, he received a better priesthood that came with a better covenant, a better way. And if you desire the old way of the old priesthood, then you must choose the old way of the law. But if you desire a better way of the priesthood of Christ, you must choose his better covenant. Heaven is not like Kohl's. Vicki made me go out to Kohl's and get a new wardrobe, well, actually just one piece, for ordination. And when we went in, there was racks of sport jackets and racks of pants. And we went to the rack and bought a jacket that we liked and then matched it with pants. Now, we don't get to do that in spiritual terms. We don't get to say we like the old covenant, but we want the new way. Or we like the old priesthood, but we want the better way. It's the old with the old, or the new with the new, and you don't get to mix the two. You just don't. And so we either go with the old priesthood and the old law, or we go with the priesthood of Christ and his way. And I've always argued, always argued, that the new way does not violate the laws of the old way. Jesus didn't come to set us free that we could have a relationship with God and be free from the old law so we can murder. The nature of God, as we gaze upon the face of God and look at his nature, we understand that we cannot murder, whether it's the old way or the new way. But we forget that as the law taught us, but as Paul taught us, if we continue to look at the law, we are going to violate the law. If we look at Christ, we will not violate the law. That's what God had brought us, a new way. But we keep going back to the old. It's like whenever my vehicles break down and they're costing me time because they're breaking down or I can't get to work or they break down on the road or they're constantly being repaired and costing me a lot of money, I go out and buy a vehicle then. Invariably, whenever I've bought this new, I've got this new vehicle sitting here and this other one going away. Do you do this too? Do you go, I really like that truck. It was a good truck. And we got this little piece of our heart that, you know, when they're towing that thing away, as you go, oh. I think some of us are like that with the old ways, the old covenant, the old law. It's like, we got this really nice, shiny, new thing sitting here, but our hearts are being torn by that old way. Jesus' way is a better way. He's a better priest. It's a better priesthood. It's a better covenant. It says so there. I'm not the one saying it. It says so right there. We got to break with that old stuff. Some of us, it's impossible to release from the law. We depend on the law in spite of its failings because it couldn't lead us to the place that the priesthood of Christ can lead us to. Got to let it go. Hebrews 8:8. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I will turn away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." It's not me who's changing these things. It's God himself. And these words were written before the new covenant came in. These words were spoken in advance so that we would know when it happens. We no longer relate to God through the law. And when I say that, sometimes I get looks from people. We do not relate to God through the law. We relate to God through the mediator, who is Christ. He says, "I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." Is that not a better way? You see, the external law has become the internal law. Again, from the commentary, the external law that man could not keep, the law man could not keep, has now become internalized. I'm sorry, that's not from, I actually wrote that, sorry. Coming up to the commentary. The way we keep the law is not by keeping the law, but by being moved by the Spirit, by being empowered by the Spirit, by focusing on Christ and his ministry. The nature of God is not changed. So what we related to God in terms of his justice remains. This, according to the teacher's commentary, it is through the Bible that we come to understand the will of God. It is through the book that we understand. And it is now here we find the principles that show us how to live a righteous life. But it is only by the transformed heart, which spontaneously responds to God in His Word, that we will that will move us to righteousness. We can summarize that what Hebrews here reveals: Mosaic law does deals with righteousness. The shadow it casts across the Old Testament shows that God, its giver, is righteous. The law in the Old Testament revealed to us the righteousness of God. But the shadow shows us something of what righteousness, righteous behavior is. The shadow shows us that God really cares about seeing righteousness in us. But commandment law was only a shadow, and it could not produce righteousness. It dealt with externals, but did not touch the heart. Then Jesus came. In Jesus' human personality, the full righteousness of the commandment law was expressed as living truth. The law shadowed who God was. Jesus came and demonstrated who God is. There's a difference. That verse, we believed once because you told us, but we believe now because we see. The shadow told us, His presence showed us. It says, then Jesus died. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus snatched us up and called us brothers, brought us into the divine family, and making us sons, God planted deep within us something of God's own, Jesus' own personality. Paul says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. When Jesus entered our lives, He brought righteousness with Him. That which had been expressed in external commands now is expressed in our hearts and minds. That very element of the old system which broke down. What was the thing that broke down in the old system? It wasn't the law. It was the element of man. And that has been changed. The law was perfect and man could not keep it. Now the external is expressed in a changed heart. And here is the key, the changed heart. We have a lot of people coming through with issues that are beyond my ability or your ability to solve. What we need, what they need, is a changed heart. And we need to lead them to that. That place where internally, not only do we know what to do, but we find the strength to do it. People are not always in distressed situations because they don't know what to do. It's because they don't have the strength to do it. That's why we need a high priest, one who mediates, one who provides strength, one who sends the Spirit. He didn't change the righteousness of God. He changed our relationship to that righteousness. If you understand what I mean by that. The struggle for people is to find that place of a changed heart. You've had people sitting next to you with all kinds of issues. We can feed them, we can clothe them. We can get them a place to live. We can do a lot of things. But a changed heart is what they need. But we ourselves may be facing our own personal issues. We don't have necessarily issues like represented by this group today, addiction. We might. We probably have things like unforgiveness, stubbornness, foolish behavior, recklessness, backbiting, gossip. And those things have been with us ever since we were saved, and they're still with us today. And the issue I would submit to you is that that portion of our heart hasn't been changed. And until that portion of our heart is changed, we're going to continue down that same road. We would be no better than the priests who got up on Easter morning or Easter Monday morning or the Tuesday after that, who didn't even realize that things had changed. And they went about life as if nothing had happened when they were made totally irrelevant. And the point is that they didn't examine and say what went on. Maybe we don't examine and ask ourselves, why do we have these struggles? I would submit to you some of our struggles are simply because we live in a sinful, fallen world. The pain in your back, the gout in your foot, maybe just because. But I would also submit to you that some things are our own fault. We won't change our heart. And we just a few months ago had, you know, New Year's resolutions. How's that going? We didn't really change our hearts. We just made a new resolution. Jesus is bringing a new covenant, a new way. He's given us opportunity once again this morning to embrace it. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're doing well. But what's the one struggle you face this morning? See, because we have a mediator sitting in the place next to God who this morning could lean to God and say, by the way, I heard from so-and-so this morning. I just want you to know, Father, I don't want to be making the same resolution next year that I made last year. Actually, I think I made it for the last 5 years. It's getting better. But I don't want to have to make it again this year. He's there waiting for us, folks. And I'm talking to every one of us, ordained, yet to be ordained, or otherwise. On the way back, don't nod if you're done, because I suspect that some might want to linger a little while longer to deal with something, and you don't want to interrupt that. And if you need someone to agree with you, I'll stay in the room.